صدای چیزم باید کمش بگید کنم. میام صدا قرآن رو باید بگید کم کنم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. لا حول ولا قوة الا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. Alhamdulillah, we have been able to study different aspects of wisdom or hikmah, which, as you saw, it's very important notion, very important concept, a great virtue. And we so far studied wisdom according to the Quran, according to the view of the commentators of the Quran, according to the linguist. And then we started studying wisdom according to the hadith. So far we have studied many hadiths. There are some more hadiths that inshallah we finish today. And then we will discuss what I think to be a comprehensive understanding of wisdom. So far we have studied many hadiths, and the last hadith was this one from Imam Ali alayhi salam: Kasbul Hikmah Ijmalun Nutq Wasti'malur Rifq. To be able to obtain wisdom, you should speak beautiful words. So not only you have to watch your words, but also you have to make sure that you use beautiful words, and also to be moderate. Sometimes people may force themselves to use beautiful words or to be moderate. So this is good, but this is a step towards wisdom. A person who is wise doesn't need to force himself to use beautiful words. He can automatically say and use beautiful words. Or for example, to be moderate, to be patient as we had before, to be tolerant. So these are the things that if you are wise, you automatically, naturally do it. If you are not wise, you can learn to be wise by gradually pretending to be wise, step by step. So you act as wise people, and over time, inshallah, you gain this quality. But we will have a special discussion about how to gain wisdom later. It is said that Luqman was asked, "You were a normal person, you were just a servant. How have you become a wise person?" ما بلغ بك ما نرى. What made you in the position that you have at the moment? He said, in addition to those things that we had before, صدق الحديث. One of the things that made me able to be wise is that I was honest. I was telling the truth. وَأَدَاءُ الْأَمَانَةِ. I was delivering the trust. When people entrusted me with something, I delivered the trust. And these two are very important. And inshallah, in the discussion about indicators of piety, also I will emphasize on these two. صَدْقُ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَدَاءُ الْأَمَانَةِ. These are some of the signs of piety that are very, very important. If you want to find out a person to be faithful or not, these are very helpful. Don't just look at the practice. Don't just look at the way they speak. Look at their honesty and trustworthiness. In moral philosophy, there is a discussion among moral philosophers whether there are universal values or not. You know, this discussion of ethical relativism. And some people have beautiful argument. They say not only some values are proved to be universal by the research that we have done in different cultures, but also they say they have to be universal, otherwise no society can continue. This is very important. One of the things that they mentioned that has to be universal, otherwise no human society, no human culture would continue, is love for children. If there was no such value as loving your children, then the parents would not have looked after their children, and after one generation, two generations, human beings have stopped to exist. Because human children are not like animals. Some animals, as soon as their children are born, they can be independent. Or just it takes them maybe a few hours. But human children are quite different. Because Allah, in His wise plan, wanted us to live as family. Part of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that He has made our children very much dependent on us. So because they have need for their parents, naturally they remain within family. Of course, later when they feel they can survive, they may leave the family. So that is the time that you have to establish moral values in them. So that by that time, it's not natural force that keeps them in the family. It's the love and respect that keeps them in the family. But you have good time, few years, because before that they cannot survive without the help of the parents. So if there was no such value as love for children among the different ethnicities, black, yellow, red, white, eastern, western, all different continents, they would not have done all the best to protect their children. So this shows that this is a universal value. Another universal value which exists in all cultures is the respect for the parents. If there was no respect for parents, and parents were just supposed to support without being respected, after a few generations they would have stopped having children. Why we should, you know, spend all time and energy on the children when they don't respect us? So this respect for children is also universal. And you see that nowadays that this respect is gradually disappearing, then people tend not to have children. They prefer to have pets instead of having children, because at least these are loyal. So these are two universal values. Another universal value is to be truthful, to tell the truth. And they mention very good argument. They say if telling the truth was not a value, there was no point in creating language. The whole point in having a language is to convey your ideas, your thoughts. And this requires truthfulness. Because if I say something and then I mean something else, then the whole language will collapse. The assumption for the people who use language is that when they say something, they mean it. Indeed, even those who don't tell the truth, they benefit from this assumption of people. You know, if people didn't assume that they are telling the truth, so those who tell lies would not make any benefit. Why they make benefit? Because people assume that they are telling the truth. So the whole point in having language is to be truthful. And you know that all human beings have languages. So it means that all human beings appreciate truthfulness. So if they say, for example, please come to my house, this means that they really mean this. So if gradually people tend to say this without meaning this, after some time, it becomes useless. So the whole trust is lost. or if they say today is cold and they mean that it is not cold, or they mean maybe cold, maybe not cold, we don't know. So gradually the trust would be lost, so there is no point in using languages. Another thing that they very much emphasize on is keeping one's promise. They say this is a universal value. In all different societies, to keep one's promise is a virtue. Whether they keep it or not in practice is another issue. But even those who don't keep their promise, they don't want other people to do the same with them. Everyone appreciates this trustworthiness, this keeping one's promise. And in Islam, this has been considered as one of the most important requirements of faith. Inshallah, we'll talk about it in the other lecture about indicators of piety. And then there is a discussion here. Which one is more important? Which one is more fundamental? To keep your promise or to tell the truth? Some people say to tell the truth indeed is derived from the virtue of keeping one's promise. Because we have promised implicitly that when we say something, we mean this. This is a promise that we have made. So if we don't use it in the truthful way, we have not kept our promise. And some people say it in different way. They say, to keep your promise is part of honesty and truthfulness. Because when you say, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to, for example, buy this for you, you have to mean what you say. So they say keeping one's promise is going back to truthfulness. This is a philosophical discussion. Which one is more important? Is it keeping one's promise the most fundamental thing, or to tell the truth? But it doesn't make that much difference in practice. All people appreciate and have high regard for these two values, and especially in Islam. We have many hadiths about this. So Luqman said, the reason I have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be given this gift of wisdom is that Sidqul Hadith, I was truthful, I was honest. The second was, I delivered the trust back. Another thing, وَتَرْكُ مَا لَا يَعْنِينِي, something which didn't matter, something which was not important for me, I didn't follow it, I didn't pursue it. I didn't say or ask about the things which are not important. There are things that whether you know them or not is not going to make any difference. Why I should spend time and energy to investigate about these things? وَقَذُّ بَصَرِي, I also try to observe modesty in my look. I didn't look at something which is sinful. وَكَفُّ لِسَانِي, I watched my words, I looked after my tongue. وَعِفَّةُ تُعْمَتِي, I was very careful about my food, about what I eat. And then he said, فَمَنْ نَقَصَ عَنْ هَذَا فَهُوَ دُونِي, whoever doesn't have these virtues and qualities is lower than me. وَمَنْ زَادَ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ فَوْغِي, if he has more than this, he's better than me. وَمَنْ عَمَلُهُ عَمِلَهُ فَهُوَ مِسْلِي, and if he has all these qualities like me. So he didn't have any special admiration for himself. He said, you can have more than this, you become better than me. You can have the same as me, you become like me. If you have less, you become worse than me. So it's up to you. You can become like Luqman or even better. Or you can be lower than Luqman. There is no restriction. There is no law in this world that says you cannot become Luqman. We can have many Luqmans in London. It's possible. Try it and you see that it will work. Some of the things that are stopping people from being wise. One is, and we had this also before, to eat too much. If you eat too much, you would be not able to have wisdom. If you go to page 4 of the handout, you would have this hadith. Page 4. For example, if you go to hadith 4250, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-qalbu yatahammalu al-hikmah inda khuluw al-bat. You remember hadith of Mi'raj? We had this in hadith of Mi'raj as well. Now we are approaching the month of Ramadan. So the month of Ramadan is the best month for experiencing wisdom, because we are watching our food, and also our speech is normally reduced. In the month of Ramadan, we speak much less than other months, hopefully. And therefore, it's good chance for having these grounds for wisdom. The Prophet said, "Al-qalbu yatahammalu al-hikmah 'inda khuluw al-batn." Heart would be able to become a place for wisdom when a stomach is empty. If the stomach is full, then the heart would not have chance to have wisdom. Inspirations, good ideas and thoughts come when you are not too much busy with your digestion of the food. Al-qalbu yamudju al-hikmah inda imtila' al-batn. If a stomach is full, then the wisdom will go away from the heart. There is a hadith that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam gave some advice to Anwan al-Basri, and in that hadith Imam said that whenever you want to eat, try to eat when you have appetite, when you are feeling hungry. And also stop before becoming full, don't continue. And also Imam said, make the space divided into three. So how much your stomach can take, divide into three. 1/3 for food, 1/3 for drink, 1/3 just leave it empty, so that you don't eat too much. And then Imam quoted a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Ma mala'a adami wa'an sharran min batnih." Human beings have not filled any container worse than their stomach. No container is filled worse than stomach. Many diseases come because of eating either too much or not appropriate food. So it not only disturbs your physical health, also it's bad for your spirituality if you eat too much. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, hadith 4251, "La tajtami'u shahwatu wal hikmah." You cannot have wisdom and lower desires, lust together. Either you go for wisdom or you go after your lower desires. You cannot have both. It's impossible to have both. Sometimes we think we are clever. We want to have everything, and at the same time we aspire for closeness to God, for spirituality. No, there are certain things that you have to leave them aside. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man akala ta'aman lishahwa harramallahu ala qalbihi al-hikmah." If someone eats something out of lower desire, just to enjoy, maybe that food is haram, maybe that food is not earned from halal, just because he loves to this type of food or drink, then Allah will make wisdom prohibited. It means that it's impossible for him to become wise. So you have to be very careful about your food. Another thing which is very harmful for wisdom is anger. If a person is angry and aggressive and arrogant, wisdom will go away. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Al-ghadabu mumhiqatun liqalb al-hakim." Anger kills, destroys the heart of a wise person. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَمْلِكْ غَضَبَهُ لَمْ يَمْلِكْ عَقْلَهُ. If you have no control over your anger, you would not have control over your reason, your intellect. A wise person very much needs his intellect, because wisdom and intellect are very closely related. When you become angry, you make obvious mistakes. You cannot think properly. You cannot make decision properly. Anger is a very severe enemy of intellect. So a wise person, first of all, doesn't get angry easily. He's very patient. And even if he gets angry, he controls his anger. Doesn't make decision at that time. Doesn't say something at that time which later he would regret. Another thing which is important is humbleness. Imam Kazim alayhi salam said, "Inna zar' yanbutu fi sahl wa la yanbutu fi safa." You know, if you want to grow something, you grow it. For example, you are a farmer. In your farm, you have places which are plain, you have places which are on top of a mountain or hill. On top of a mountain or hill, you cannot grow because no water remains there. Water comes down to the plain land. It's an analogy, an example. It means that when you are humble, all the goods come to you. So if you want wisdom, you have to be very humble in your heart. If you are arrogant, wisdom will go away. So Imam Kazim alayhi salam said, in the same way that you can grow in a plain, not on top of a rocky mount, wisdom is growing in the heart of a humble person, not a person who is arrogant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made humbleness, humility, an instrument for intellect. So the intellect can understand and function properly when you are humble. If I am arrogant, my intellect cannot function properly. Do you know why? Because an arrogant person doesn't bother about the truth. He just wants to make his position stronger. For him, this is the main target. So if in your thinking, if in making relations, if in this decision making, instead of being concerned about truth, about what is right and wrong, you are always concerned about your position, your respect, your fame, your power, then you would make big mistakes. The best way to serve your real interest is to forget your ego and just be concerned with the truth. If we all serve the truth, it would be better for us in the long term. If you go to Hadith 4258, page 5, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, غَيْرُ مُنْتَفِعٍ بِالْعِظَاتِ قَلْبٌ مُتَعَلِّقٌ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. If a heart is busy and preoccupied with lusts and appetites and lower desires would not take lessons, would not benefit from good advice given. Imam Ali alayhi salam, as you know, was asked by Hammam to describe the pious. He said to Imam, "Sifli al-muttaqin hatta ka'anni anzuru ilayhim." Please describe for me the pious people so that it becomes so clear that it's as if I am looking at them. You know, sometimes people describe something in the way that you think that you are looking at that object. So he said to Imam, please describe me the muttaqin in this way. And Imam alayhi salam described it in a very beautiful way in about few pages. Sermon of Muttaqin in Nahjul Balagha. At the end, when Imam finished, this Hammam was so impressed by the way Imam described Muttaqin that he died. Some hypocrites who were there, they started criticizing Imam Ali that you killed him. Imam didn't do anything. Imam just described this muttaqin. And Imam said, "Ha kaza tasna'ul mawa'idhul baligha bi ahliha." Imam said, no. When there is a wise preaching, wise advice, and the person is also good in receiving, when these two match together, then this is normal to happen. If someone like Ali is giving advice and the other person wholeheartedly listens and appreciates, then it's possible that he dies. He cannot, you know, take it. He cannot forget this. So it's as if this person who was supposed to, for example, continue his life for 4 or 5 years, Ali made for him the distance very short. Instead of waiting for 5 years, he reached the end of the journey. So, good advice is one condition. Good listener is another condition. Sometimes we have good listeners, but we don't have good preacher. Sometimes we have good preacher, we don't have good listener. If we have both, then miracles can happen. Sometimes one lecture can change the whole community. One lecture can change the life of people. One reason that people do not listen and benefit from these advices is that, as Imam Ali said, قَلْبٌ مُتَعَلِّقٌ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. Their heart is attached to lust and lower desires. You are telling them about heaven, but they are thinking about something else. They are not that much listening. Their attention is somewhere else. On the other hand, in the hadith 4260, if you go to hadith further, Imam Ali said, "Man thabatat lahu al-hikmah." If a person has been given wisdom and wisdom is established for him, arafa al-ibrah, he would take lessons. Not only by listening, by looking around. For a wise person, everything is full of lessons. You don't need just to listen. You look around and everything becomes inspiring for you. Even what children say can be inspiring. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the mouth of children something which is very useful for you. Never underestimate what children say. Sometimes, maybe all of a sudden a person comes and says something. Maybe that person doesn't know what he is saying, but maybe there is a message for you. Sometimes you get message from even your enemies. Maybe enemies tell you something so that you can correct yourself. You have to always be alert and sensitive. Messages can come from every direction and corner. A wise person does not miss any message, any signal. This is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may speak to you directly by suggesting some ideas into your heart, but sometimes indirectly through people, or sometimes all of a sudden, for example, you open the Quran, there is a verse that speaks to you. Maybe you read a book, there is something which is relevant to you. If we achieve wisdom, we would have a very different type of life. A wise person would find that every verse of the Quran is relevant to his life. A person who is not wise reads the Quran for days and weeks and says, I don't find anything relevant to my life. It becomes even boring for him. It's not because the Quran is different. It's the same Quran. It depends on your sensitivity, on your alertness. Quran can speak to you directly, and the Quran can be silent. It depends on your ability to get the message. So a wise person always gets lessons from everything. Hadith 4262, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, كَثْرَةُ النَّظَرِ فِي الْحِكْمَةِ تُلَقِّحُ الْعَقْلِ. Something that fertilizes the reason or intellect is to reflect continuously on wise ideas, wise words, wise sayings. Think about them, ponder on them. It will fertilize your intellect. Another thing that we have about wisdom is that with respect to wisdom, you have to be very careful. Don't share it with the people who don't appreciate. And please share it with the people who appreciate. You know, if you share it with the people that you find them appreciative, it is good. And indeed, this is their right to listen to this. If you don't give it to them, you have not been kind to them. But if you share it with the people who don't appreciate, even they may misuse it, so you have not been observing the right of wisdom. Wisdom has the right to be shared only with the people who are qualified. Imam Kazim alayhi salam said, Hadith 4263, لا تمنحوا الجهال الحكمة. Do not teach wisdom, do not give wisdom to the people who are ignorant. Ignorant not just in the sense that they don't know. It means that they are not acting rationally. Because in Arabic, jahl has two meanings. One is not to know. One is not to act wisely. If you give them wisdom, فَتَظْلَمُوهَا, you have been unjust with wisdom. You have not observed the right of wisdom. وَلَا تَمْنَعُوهَا أَحْلَهَا. On the other hand, do not keep wisdom hidden from those who deserve to be taught. Because in this way, you have been unjust to those people. So either you become unjust to wisdom or unjust to people. One of the two, if you are not careful. If you are careful, you can observe the right of wisdom and the people together. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hadith 4265, وَاذِعُ الْعِلْمِ عِنْدَ غَيْرَ أَهْلِهِ كَمُقَلِّدِ الْخَنَازِيرِ الْجَوْهَرِ وَاللُّؤْلُؤِ وَالذَّهَبِ. A person who gives wisdom and knowledge to the people who don't deserve is like the person who puts necklace of pearls and jewelries on the neck of a pig. This is not supposed to be put on the neck of a pig. It must be put on the neck of a human being. So if you teach wisdom to the people who are not good, you are wasting wisdom, and they may even use this against you and innocent people. So you have to be very careful. Another thing about wisdom is that they can refresh your mind and heart. Hadith 4266. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna hadhihi al-qulub tamallu kama tamallu al-abdan." The Prophet said something very important. He said, in the same way that bodies may become tired, sometimes your body becomes tired, you need to relax. The Prophet said, hearts also are like this. Sometimes your heart has become tired, needs to relax. But this is not something that you do it by physical relaxation. You need something to refresh your heart. What can refresh your heart? Many things. One of the things is, for example, to meet a good friend. When you meet a good friend, your heart is refreshed. Another thing which is mentioned here is wise ideas. If you listen to wise ideas or reflect on wise ideas, your heart regains the energy, would be energized, refreshed. So these are just some samples, although we have mentioned about 20 maybe or some 20 hadiths, still there are much more that we didn't mention because the time is short. So my understanding, and I think you would also perhaps agree, is that based on these hadiths, these elements are to be observed as requirements of wisdom. Commenting and reflecting on all these hadiths. One is that wisdom is related to understanding. There is no doubt about this. Wisdom and understanding are interconnected. But you cannot translate wisdom as understanding, because wisdom is much more. You remember we said there is no single word in Arabic, Farsi, English that can translate wisdom or hikmah. But we use different concepts. One is understanding. Second is intellect. Wisdom and intellect are connected. There is not that much connection between wisdom and emotion, for example, but wisdom and reason or intellect are connected. Knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are very much related. It's impossible to be ignorant and wise. Although knowledge is different from wisdom, you can be knowledgeable and not wise, but you cannot be wise without knowledge. So knowledge is a requirement for wisdom. Another thing which is mentioned in the hadith is that wisdom and obedience to God are related. Fear of God. A wise person knows that he or she must observe the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that even we had hadith, Ra'sul Hikmah Makhafatullah. The foundation of wisdom is to fear God. Another thing which we understood from hadith is that wisdom is first of all related to heart, not to mind, not to tongue, not to organs. First of all, primarily, it's related to the heart. Of course, then it can affect other aspects of our being. Another thing which we understood from hadith is that wisdom comes with patience, forbearance, tolerance, mudara, we had in hadith, moderation, rifq, not to be extremist, not to be radical. To be able to forgive when you are wronged, you forgive easily. You don't develop enmity and hostility. You know, there are people that if you say something bad to them or you do something bad, they never forgive you. They say verbally, I have forgiven you. But even after 20 years, they say, you said this to me. And this is very bad. You must not remember these things. A mu'min forgets when he is wronged and always remembers when someone has done a good thing for him. If a person has given him, for example, a cup of tea, after years he remembers. But if someone has wronged him, he quickly forgets. This is a sign of a wise person. So wisdom requires ability to forgive, brings good temper. Another thing which we found in hadith is that wisdom and experience are connected. Wisdom and experience are very much connected. I said, it's possible you have a prophet, you have an imam who has no experience in the normal and conventional way. For example, Jesus. Jesus was given, you know, wisdom right away after birth. We are not talking about that type of people. But normal people like us never, you know, expect from a very young person to be wise. Always go for someone who has some experience. Even if a person has knowledge, experience is something else. If you want to listen to someone, choose someone as your guide, as, I don't know, mentor, as a leader of the community, always find people who have, in addition to other qualifications, experience. Experience is something that nothing can replace. Inshallah, I will talk about it more in the final session. Another thing that we learned about wisdom is that wisdom and renunciation from the worldly pleasure are connected. So wisdom is not something theoretical. Wisdom is not something about just mind. It's about heart and therefore related to the way you relate to the worldly or physical pleasure. Another thing was that wisdom and honesty are related. A wise person doesn't deceive others. Wisdom and hunger. Wisdom and silence. Wisdom and controlling your anger. Wisdom and humbleness. So these are the things that when we reflect on these hadiths, we understand. So there are about maybe 14, 15 different elements that we find in hadith, all associated with wisdom. So far you have some understanding of wisdom according to the Quran, and then it is expanded according to the hadith. So inshallah, in the final session, I will give you my own overall understanding of wisdom and what we should do to inshallah achieve wisdom. So that session inshallah would be very important, because that's the final session and we want to put all these ideas together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be wise and act wisely inshallah all the time. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.